Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and looks like 43 seconds. So, hey, let's pray and just get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to be able to minister your word. I thank you that as your word goes forth, that it falls upon hearts that are ready to receive what is said and act upon what they hear. It's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic name of Jesus that we pray. And hey, if you heard the prayer and you agree with the prayer, then just say amen. So I'll say amen, and then you can say amen, and we're in agreement. Here's the deal. You have what's called a biblical bill of rights if you are a born-again believer. So we have all these rights, just like with our government. You know, you have the right to bear arms. You have the right to, the American dream, I know, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you have all these rights, inalienable rights. Well, you have biblical rights as a born-again believer. So you have a blood-bought right to be a child of God. Go to John chapter 1, and let's look at verse 11. John chapter 1, and says here, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus, when he showed up, he gave us the authority to become children of God. Now that tells me, before Jesus showed up, we couldn't become children of God. We were servants, or we were... Actually, the Israelites were servants because we were Gentiles. Like, I was a Gentile. I wasn't invited into the covenant until Jesus showed up. And I thank God that he gave me, he sent out the invitation. So, how do you become a child of God? Number one, you must receive Jesus as the Savior. You must receive Jesus as the Savior. Number two, you must believe that his name is the only way you could receive salvation, God's salvation. Now, I know people will say, oh, there are, you know, all these different ways to.
Hey, we're back. One thing I've learned since being born again, when you attempt to do something for God, there's going to be resistance. I mean, I had my Facebook Live program just suddenly end. I had the call on the landline, disconnected, now calling back on my cell phone. I'm not going anywhere. I am going to keep going, and I'm just going to keep going, and we're going to keep going, and we just going to keep going. I don't give up. I don't cave in. I don't quit. Just that simple. That's just how it is. So, So we talked about you have a blood-bought right to be a child of God. We read that in John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. And you must receive him at Jesus as a Savior. You must believe that his name is the only way you can receive salvation, and you must confess him as the Lord of your life. Now, there's a difference between Savior and Lord. Savior is the person who redeemed you and got you out of sin. Lord is the person who now calls the shots in your life. They're all an act of the will. But you must confess, hey, Jesus is Lord of my life. Excuse me. Now, so you've done that. Now that you're a child of God, how should you behave? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. I'm going to do something because I did something yesterday that led to something happening that happened today, I hardly ever eat processed sugar. But yesterday I decided that I wanted some, I think they're called Chipmates. That it's a cook, it's a chocolate chip cookie, chewy cookie from Walmart. It's made by Great Value. And I had some butter pecan ice cream from Kroger's, and it's no sugar added and everything. And so I ate some of that. Man, I work out, and I understand, you know, drink just as much. You must drink, I drink twice as much water to get the sugar out of my system. However, I don't like the residual effects because there are certain things that go on in my physical body as a result of the sugar. So what happens is, like, congestion and stuffy nose, things like that. But I noticed how before I made the decision to do this program, there was nothing going on. I mean, no stuffy nose, no anything. The moment I started talking about the Word of God, my physical body starts to try to act all crazy. Here's the deal. Here's what I do. I tell my body to line up with the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says that by his stripes we are healed. There's another scripture that talks about loving your body. What that means is you don't beat your body up. You don't, you know, this body is what houses me and houses me and our soul. So what I do is I say, body, you line up with the Word of God. Jesus, we are the healed protecting our health. So you may hear me being congested. You may hear, I'm not denying what's going on, but I call those things that be not as though they are. So what I do is I keep speaking the word, and what the word does is it replaces what may be going on. So, you know, there's this one lady, her arm was broke. My arm ain't broke, baby arm, sweetie, your arm broke. But a proper confession would be, I thank by Jesus' stripes, I'm the healed protecting my health. How do you protect your health? With your words. You continuously call in what you want, which will replace what may be there. You don't deny what's there. So my nose may be, congestion may be trying to invade my nasal cavities. By Jesus' stripes, my nasal cavities function in the perfection which God created them. See, you see what I'm doing? I'm using the word to replace what may be going on. Now, somebody would say, well, if you knew that was going to happen, why would you? I wanted the cookies and I wanted the ice cream. What? What? Okay. But that doesn't stop me from doing what I need to do. Now, I will say this. If I know I'm going to be preaching the word, then I need to properly prepare myself, which means I shouldn't have eaten the stuff yesterday. Maybe eat it on a Wednesday. Make sure I, you know, 2 days of working out, plenty of liquids, get the stuff out of my system so that by Sunday I'm good to go. But you know what? I just thought about it. If you listen to this program and you have a recipe for ice cream and cake or cookie that is sweet, but it's healthy, if that makes sense. Because I enjoy sweets, and God made all foods to enjoy, but I don't like the the residual side effects that come along with some of the stuff that I eat that is processed and got a bunch of stuff in it that's just not good for you. Let's put it like that. So, with that being said, hang on, I got to. God bless me. Hallelujah. I'll take that. Okay, so, receive Jesus as Savior. Believe that his name is the only name believe that his name is the only way you can receive salvation, and then confess him as Lord of your life. Now that you're a child of God, how should you behave? Ephesians chapter 5. And, you know, just because you meet opposition doesn't mean you give up. Nope. And I thank you all for just sticking it here with me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. See, sometimes people don't realize that just because you minister the word of God doesn't mean you don't get attacked. Some things are self-inflicted. Some things are, you know, demonically influenced. Some things are just a result of you living on this earth. But I will not give up. I will not cave in, and I will not quit. I don't care what my emotions and my physical body are trying to say. All that kind of stuff. I will preach this word. There. Just that simple. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I like that. Now, the word follow means to pursue with the intent of being and doing just like the person you're following. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. Be ye imitators of God as dear children. As adopted children, we need to find out some things about our dad. Excuse me. Let's just do some basic stuff. Dad is love. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 8. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, and let's look at some love, some characteristics of love. Let's see if we can line up with these scriptures, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long in its time. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. That doesn't mean tongues is done away with. I speak in tongues. And I can control it. And then I can tell you what I just said. What I just said was, God loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. All you have to do is just get involved with him, develop a relationship, believe that his word is true, and you'll see that he's real. Prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Knowledge hadn't vanished away. Prophecies haven't gone away. All these things are still active. This is talking about when Jesus, when everything is finally culminated with that great white throne judgment where all sin and all of its effect are wiped out 100% totally. Okay. So we said dad is love. We've just read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. When we walk in love, our faith is put to work, and we please our dad. Okay, another thing about our dad. Dad is kind. Go to Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 35. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, and daughters. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. So we should be kind and we should be merciful. And when we give, we shouldn't expect anything in return. We should love our enemies. We should pray for those who spitefully use us and abuse us and accuse us. And all. Now, when I say abuse, we're not talking about, yeah, you still pray for somebody. If there's physical abuse, get out of there. Just get out of there and get before God, because that is not the will of God for your life. Somebody beating on you and even emotional abuse, verbal abuse, that is not the will of God for your life, okay? Now, if you want to read an Old Testament account of someone that showed kindness, David showed kindness to Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's grandson. Now, Saul, Jonathan's dad, was hunting David to kill him. So Mephibosheth was Saul's great-grandson, because he was David's grandson. So David showed kindness to his enemies, to his enemy's great-grandson. So David, he fulfilled the scriptures. Now, to be listen to this. Kind or gentle words and actions always turn fear away, and it releases our faith. It says a soft answer turns away wrath. So just remember, kind or gentle words and actions always turn fear away, and it releases our faith. Another thing about our dad, he's good. Go to Matthew chapter 19. I'm just reading the Bible. Matthew chapter 19, and look at verse 16. Now, behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So then Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, he's talking to the Jews. Now, we are to keep the commandment of love. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. So, he sums it up, and we have to do that by faith. Because you can try to love somebody, and they don't love you in return, and you can get in the flesh. So, we see that dad is good. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed, protecting my health. Now, body, you line up with the word of God. Jesus took those stripes that I may walk in the fullness of health. So I am be healed, protecting my health." Romans chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." God is still good to you even when you aren't good to yourself, others, or him. He's so good to where he doesn't withhold the sunshine from sinners. He's just good. He's just good. Dad's goodness towards us and through us always causes an individual to do a self-examination and make changes for the better. When someone does you good, it'll bring a conviction to the sinner and a convincing to the saint. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but convinces word people that you're no longer a sinner, you are the righteousness of God, and you've already been judged in Jesus as not guilty. That's how it works. Okay, we got about 8 minutes left. Another thing, Dad, is forgiving. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, not only, let me show you how that scripture works. Not only does God forgive you, but his love is so good, he can wipe out the repercussions of the sin committed. For example, I'll use myself as an example. I was telling you earlier about the chocolate chip cookies and the ice cream. Well, to him who knows what is right and doesn't do it, it is sin. Well, I knew I shouldn't have ate the cookies and I shouldn't have eaten the ice cream. I knew it was wrong. So for me, it was sin because I knew there could be some repercussions involved. But God, in his love for me, even the repercussions, like you, the people listening, you hear me coughing, and you may hear some congestion, but just check back with me in about, well, you won't check back with me, but a couple hours, because I'm going to keep slamming the word. I'm going to keep slamming the word. Scriptures on healing, scriptures on healing, scriptures on healing. Now, what you don't want to do, you don't want to get caught up in God's grace to where you're now abusing the grace. Well, I'll just go ahead and do this because I know God will forgive me. No, that's not how that works. God wants you to get to a point to where you do not want to displease him or do something to, you know, that's the whole goal. Now, did he forgive me? Of course, he forgave me 2,000 years ago. And so what he does is he talks to me and says, hey, Darryl, look, now, I know you enjoy chocolate chip cookies. I know you enjoy butter pecan ice cream. Actually, my favorite is the turtles with the caramel in it and stuff like that. He knows that I enjoy it, but he also knows what it does in my physical body. So he talks to me about it. You know, instead of me eating 10 cookies and 2 bowls of ice cream, maybe I should have ate 1 bowl and 5 cookies, or half a bowl and a couple of cookies. You see, that's what a loving parent does. They find ways to still love you past the mistakes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. And it sounds like this is where Jesus was on the cross and he said, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. But let's start at verse 1. Actually, this is good. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, talking about Jesus, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. See, you don't hear much talk about the fact Judas repented with a godly sorrow. Now, God is a forgiving God. So what? You think he didn't accept Judas's acknowledgement of what he did and forgave him for it? It's just what happened is he was so overwhelmed with the grief of what he had done, he couldn't face any other humans. That's why he went out and hung himself. Now, what if the other apostles and disciples had been there to say, hey, Judas, we all forsook Jesus. It's going to be all right. That's why it's so important to get around people that are going to encourage you and keep you lifted up. Now, that doesn't mean they're responsible for making sure that you, you know, because you got to have your own relationship. But you got to get around people that are going to, at your lowest point, they're gonna be right there. Hey, man, God loves you. God cares about you. Our Heavenly Father desires to forgive us more than we desire to be forgiven upon confession. That's how much he wants to forgive us if we confess it. And last thing is, Dad is patient. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, it says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. What do we say? 2 Peter chapter 3. Boy, that clock ticking. Wow. 2 minutes and 18 seconds. I appreciate you all, you know, listening even beyond the sniffles and the coughing and the congestion and all that kind of stuff. I'm a person just like everybody else. I make mistakes. I do things wrong. But that's no excuse for not doing what God told me to do. And God told me to keep ministering that word. But that's what I'm going to do. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God keeps working with us. He keeps working with us. He just keeps loving us. I encourage you to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and then 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And I just want to say this. As God's children, we should be willing to go to whatever length and do whatever it takes to ensure that every person in our sphere of influence has the opportunity to meet and accept Jesus Christ. We should be willing to do whatever. That means adjusting your schedule. You know, I came off the road temporarily to make sure I was here with my dad because he's going through a tough time. And actually the Bible says true religion is to visit widows and orphans in a time of need or time of trouble. So if you don't know Jesus, say this after me. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you saved me from the penalty of sin. And today I confess you as Lord of my life. I want you to be the one that helps me live this life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer and you believed it within your heart and you know that God has done something in your life, then you're saved. Welcome to the family. God loves you. I love you. Gotta go.